Imagine your life hanging by a thread just because of, well, the shoot you chose to wear on a Saturday morning, or even the way you trimmed a piece of beef in your own kitchen.
It sounds completely absurd to us now, right? But that was the intense reality back then.
Yeah, exactly. So for today's exploration into the source material, we're digging into this fascinating stack of 16th century trial transcripts. We're looking at the really high-stakes world of 1512 Spain.
And specifically, we're looking at the trial of Leonor Alvarez, the wife of a spice merchant.
Right. She was accused of being a Judaizer, which, meant someone who was secretly practicing Jewish rites while living their public life as a Catholic.
Right. And it's a chilling case because it shows how the Spanish Inquisition effectively turned the domestic sphere, like the home, into a total political battlefield.
Wow, yeah. So they weren't just looking for, I don't know, secret books or underground meetings or whatever.
No, not at all. They were actually obsessed with the, I guess you could call it, the metadata of daily life. The kitchen and the closet literally became the front lines of religious purity.
That is just wild. And Leonor totally knew she was being watched, right? Because one of the most striking parts of her confession involves her spinning wheel.
Oh, the spinning wheel ruse. Yeah, that is such a fascinating detail.
Yeah. She'd sit by her loom on the Sabbath, just making this big show of being busy for any neighbor who might, happen to glance through her window. But the absolute second the coast was clear, she'd stop.
Exactly. It was a complete performance.
I was thinking it's kind of like performance productivity in a modern office. Like when you do the bare minimum to look busy while secretly sticking to your own agenda,
That's actually a perfect analogy. The Inquisition viewed an idle loom on a Saturday as a massive smoking gun because Jewish law forbids work on the Sabbath.
Right. So by faking the work, she's building a visual shield.
Spot on. She was broadcasting this busy Catholic worker persona to the outside world. But the scrutiny went way deeper than just whether she was working or not. It went straight into her pots and pans.
Right. The transcripts mention this term, purgando, meat-like, removing the fat and veins to make the beef kosher. And a neighbor, Maria Alfonso, actually caught her red-handed doing this.
She did. And when Maria confronted her about it, Leonor didn't even fold.
Yeah, I love this part. She just looks at her and says, "If you aren't going to eat it, let it cook well."
Such a great line.
It's incredibly ballsy. But I have to wonder, was this a genuine defiant stand, or was she just desperately trying to gaslight her accuser, like essentially telling her to mind her own business?
Well, it was a huge gamble. She's saying, mind your own business in a society where your private business is unfortunately legally defined by the state. And the gamble didn't entirely work out.
Because the betrayal actually came from inside her own house, right?
Right.
Or, well, her own family.
Yeah, this is the really tragic part. Leonor's own sister, Juana, was actually a key witness against her.
Oh, man, it's just so hard to wrap your head around that level of betrayal.
It is, but you have to remember the context of the era. The Inquisition framed ratting out your family as like an act of spiritual mercy. You were theoretically saving their soul by bringing them to the fire of purification.
Which is terrifying. And Juana was actually ultimately burned at the stake, right? While Leonor somehow survived.
Yes. Leonor was left scrambling to find some sort of legal loophole to avoid that exact same fate. And that is where her husband, Fernando, steps in.
Right, with this aggressive legal strategy called tachas. I was reading about this in the sources. He basically goes on the offensive and starts calling the prosecution's witnesses drunks, thieves, and even bedwetters.
Yeah, he really went for their character.
It honestly sounds like a playground shouting match. I mean, was the Spanish legal system really swayed by someone just yelling crazy drunk in court?
In 1512,
Yeah.
absolutely, yeah. Because there was no concept of innocent until proven guilty. If a witness's testimony matched the accusation, you were basically finished.
Oh, wow. So you couldn't really argue the facts.
Exactly. The only structural defense you had was to prove the witness was vile, meaning their social standing was so incredibly low that their word carried zero weight in the eyes of God or the law.
So Fernando wasn't just being petty or throwing insults. He was systematically dismantling their actual legal capacity to tell a truth that the court would even accept.
Precisely. By flooding the court with all this evidence of the neighbors' bad reputations, he created enough noise to totally drown out the specific charges against his wife.
It's a fascinating pivot. Like, if you can't prove the facts are wrong, just prove the people saying them are entirely broken. And it actually worked.
It really did. Leonor's sentence was miraculously light considering the circumstances.
Yeah, she completely avoided the stake. Her sentence got knocked down from life imprisonment to house arrest, and then eventually just to like special fasts and prayers.
She survived by figuring out exactly when to perform, when to stay quiet, and when to just let her husband completely burn down the reputation of everyone around her.
It's such a powerful reminder of how, you know, when your identity is criminalized, your absolute smallest habits become your biggest liabilities.
That's very true.
So as our listeners go about their day, I want to leave you with this thought. If your private life was suddenly put under a legal microscope, which tiny everyday habit, maybe the exact way you fix your coffee or the specific day you choose to rest, would be the one thing that gives you away to your neighbors.
That is definitely something to chew on.
Right. Well, that's all for today's exploration. We'll catch you next time.